Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I appreciated that devotional that you led there, Brother Dwayne. And my thoughts were going down the same line of a new year. And sometimes we get to a new year and we think, well, we're starting all back over again. What's changed? We're just, time keeps going on. Some of those thoughts, Dwayne, share with us this morning, but I appreciated how you brought out the hope that we have and the joy we can have in our lives and what we have to look forward to when we serve Christ. So appreciate that very much. So as we stand at the beginning of this new year, 2024, what does it hold for us individually? What does it hold for us collectively? And I was thinking back to this past year, and I know Dwayne mentioned a lot of things stayed the same, but I was thinking about a lot of changes that came to this congregation in the past year. And I don't remember everything. I wish I did better at taking notes of things that happened, but I thought about people who gave their hearts to Christ, people who were baptized. I believe there was a wedding in our congregation the last year. Babies born. People who sat on these benches passed away. We changed meeting houses. I don't know how many times it actually happens to people in their lifetime where a church moves to a different place. But in our lifetime, in last year, that happened to us. We also changed church names. And some of us are still stumbling over that from time to time when we talk about where we go to church. From 4th Avenue Mennonite Church to Altoona Mennonite Church. Some had children leave here and go across the world to serve in other places. Some had children start dating, and the list could go on and on of the things that changed in our congregation. But as we anticipate a new year, 2024, what do we have to look forward to? What do we anticipate? But we know this morning that we can face it with confidence because the verse I opened with this morning, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that God knows what is ahead for us. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." We can stand on that this morning, that in 2024, nothing is going to surprise God. He knows all about it already. But for a text, please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to read some verses here. At the beginning of the year, we often look to the future. Dwayne mentioned that this morning as well. We make new commitments or goals. Maybe we renew old ones. We say, this year I want to do this, or this year I want to do that. And we look to the future. Sometimes if you're a business owner, maybe you put together a new budget for the new year, or you put together a sales goal for the new year. You're looking forward on how you can make business profitable. And as my thoughts were going down these lines, I thought about how do we incorporate God? Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe God is the focus and our lives should fit into that. We'll look at that a little bit here this morning. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. This is the verse that came to my mind when I thought about this. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So as we look back on last year and we look forward to this year, we can make a lot of plans. We can plan to go here or there. We use our calendars and we can fill those right up with things that we want to do. This verse teaches us that we can make our plans. We can write those things down in the date book. But it's the Lord that directs our steps from day to day. He guides our steps. And as we look back, we can see this happening many times in 2023. We made a plan, and God directed our steps. I think especially about moving our congregation to this building. We prayed about it. We talked about it for years. And it seemed like all of a sudden God just opened that door for us and directed us into this community. And we bless God for that. He opened doors for some people. He closed doors for other people. And he directed us through this past year, and we look forward to him doing that as long as he tarries in this new year. I do want to read the first 9 verses of chapter 16 and take a few thoughts from this passage of scripture here. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart of a man, let me start over. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And then our text verse, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I always enjoy reading the book of Proverbs. Little nuggets of truth packed into each verse. Sometimes the thoughts don't tie together too well, at least in the translation. But I'd like to just go back through these verses and just pull out a couple thoughts. Verse 1 and verse 9 carry this thought about where our heart, where our steps start. So this morning we want to think about walking with God, or the title of the message is The Steps of a Good Man. We'll look at another text that pulls it out here a little bit later. But think about walking with God and the steps of a good man, and how those steps start with our heart. Where our heart is often dictates our steps. And that's why Proverbs is very often mentions that we need to guard our heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the steps or our actions of a good man, they come from our heart. They start in our heart. And verse 1 points out here of chapter 16 that the Lord knows all about that anyway. We make our plans, but the Lord knows what's inside and what's making us make those decisions. And verse 2 points out that the ways that we choose, the steps that we take, we're not the best at seeing what those actually are. It's God who weigheth those spirits, is the way the proverb writer says it here. We often think it's the right way in our own eyes, but the Lord is the one who judges our motives, is the best judge of our motives. It's easy for us to justify ourselves and make space for ourselves and be hard on other people, but the Lord sees all of that and weighs that all out. Verse 3, when our thoughts and our goals are aligned with the heart of God, we can trust things to work out for our good. Even if that situation, even if it doesn't seem like the situation is good. So as we reflect on last 2023, and I don't think anybody here had life exactly like maybe they would have ordered it. There was difficulty in life. Some people broke bones. Some people were sick. Some people had lengthy illnesses. Brother Phil was in the hospital for a while. And we can wonder, how is this for my good? But as we look back on it, we can see God directing that and working it out. So God is working for our spiritual benefit. Verse 4 reminds us that the Lord made all things for himself. He is the creator of all things. And that helps us to be a guide for us in life when we think about who God is. And we'll look at that a little bit more later as we go along here. Our steps are directed in right paths when we fear the Lord. And I'm taking this thought from verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So when we have God in our mind and we fear God, not that we're afraid of him, but we respect him, it turns us away from evil and it directs our steps in the new year. Verse 7 is an interesting verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when God is directing our steps, it affects our relationships with those around us, those we go to church with, those who we do business with. When God is directing our steps, it impacts those as well. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. So when God is directing our steps, it doesn't mean it's always going to work out the best for us financially. It might actually be the exact opposite of that. It might cost us something. It probably will cost us something. But it's better to be right than to use devious ways and to come out ahead. God is directing our steps. And there's a very similar passage of Scripture. If we turn back to Psalm 37, let's turn back there to Psalm 37. Solomon's father wrote a very similar passage. I want to take some thoughts from there as well. Psalm 37, it's actually where our title comes from, The Steps of a Good Man. Psalm 37. And the verse I want to lift out here is verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." So the word delighteth here means to bend or to be pleased with. So you think about the steps of a good man and how God delights when people make choices and choose to follow him. So the title for the message this morning is The Steps of a Good Man. I'd like to read the first seven verses in this passage as well, and we'll pull a couple thoughts from here. Also, Psalm 37, verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall be soon cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who is prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So there's some verses here that can realign our thinking as we're thinking about a new year. Get our thoughts focused back on how we should order our steps in this year. First one I'd like to lift out is in verse 3. Maybe you have these underlined in your Bible. I don't know. I do in mine. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. It's hard for us to do that sometimes, isn't it? When we see problems, we see difficulties. Sometimes we're like Peter. We step out of the boat in faith, but when we start to look around, we begin to become fearful. And we can put our trust in a lot of things that are all finite, these things that do not last. But it says, a good man will put his trust in the Lord. What is our trust in this morning? As we're thinking about 2024 and the unknowns that are ahead of us, what is our trust in? Is it in our bank account? Is it in our insurance policies? Is it in our ability to sell a product? Is it our ability to work? What is our trust in for 2024? Or is it in the Lord? The second one is in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What do we delight in? What gets us going? What makes us get up out of bed in the morning and motivates us? What is our, maybe a current day word would be passion. What is our passion? I hear that a lot. Is it Peterbilt's? Is it Massey Ferguson's? Is it making the house look just right? What is our, what gets us going? What do we delight in? The psalmist teaches here to delight ourselves in the Lord. And it says he will give us the desires of our heart. If our hearts align with God and we're wanting what he wants for us, he will give us those things. And our adversary, he has a lot of counterfeits to fill these voids in our lives. But a good man or a good woman whose steps are after the Lord will delight himself in the Lord. And then number three, commit thy way. It's in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And then we have this thought of trusting also in him. Committing our way. The word used here means to roll or to turn over to God, to yield our way or surrender to him. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. At the beginning of a day or at the beginning of a year, like we're thinking about this morning, yielding our way to God's. When we turn our lives over to him, we can find that rest that comes from giving over our burdens to him. Those things that keep us awake at night, those things that we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about, those things that wear us down and bog us down, we can commit those things over to God. Just roll them over to him and allow him to take care of us. Those fears we have about what's going to happen to us in this coming year, we can roll those over to God and he can take care of those for us. And then we can find rest. And that's in verse 7. Rest in the Lord. We find a lot of peace and rest when we live life after God. When we live life God's way, we can find a lot of rest in that. We know the familiar verses from Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That rest that comes from surrendering our lives to God. And then also in verse 7, wait patiently for him. And waiting on God to direct us is not always easy. It's actually quite difficult sometimes. We think we see the whole picture, and we think we need God to act in this situation immediately. That's our point of view. That's not God's point of view. The end and the beginning are the same to God. When he looks at a situation, the end and the beginning are the same to him. And this morning, as we think about the steps of a good man, I'd like to look at some principles that can guide our steps and give us confidence in this new year. And I'd like to take some of those lessons from a character in the Bible that was faithful to God, and it took him through some extreme experiences. And I just invite you to turn your Bible to Job chapter 1. This is a story we know well, but I read it in my personal reading this week and thought about a man who was directed by God through some difficult, difficult situations. Job chapter 1, we're not going to read we know the story well, so we're not going to read all of it, but I do want to read at least part of it to refresh our memory on some of the points of the story that I needed to be reminded of. And maybe before we begin reading this story, let's just step back for a moment and just kind of look at the book as a whole. Not so much the story here in the beginning, but Job was a very wealthy man. We know that in ancient history. And probably a contemporary with Abraham, or back there in Genesis, quite likely. Most scholars, it's where they place the book in a timeline. And we know the story how Job lost everything. And then he went through this great suffering, and then at the end of the story was doubly blessed. And that's often how we think of the book of Job. But if you look at the details of the book of Job, it's about Job and Job's four friends wrestling with this idea of, here is a godly man, one who is upright, one who is, I think it says perfect, we'll read it here in a little bit, but I think it says perfect, and yet he faces great difficulty. And from the passage of scripture that we read in Proverbs and Psalms, it seems like from those verses that, well, if you just commit your way to God, follow him, you're going to get the desires of your heart. And it's hard for us to reconcile this God that would allow Job to go through such difficulty. And that's what a majority of the book of Job is Job and his friends wrestling with, who is God? Why is this happening? And then, of course, the friends sharing their opinion on why it's happening. And then Job wrestling with God later in the book. And then at the end of the book, let me back up, Job asking God some questions about this. And then God comes back to Job and asks him a few questions. And we see Job humbling himself and recognize God for who he is. It's kind of an overall picture of the book. Let's just read some verses here. Job chapter 1. Start reading in verse 1. And let's read verse 1 and then jump down to verse 6. I'm sorry, I'm in the book of Proverbs. Let me back up. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Let's jump down to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Thinking about the steps of a good man, if you were looking for a man who was following after God, Job was the man. Verse 9, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's just keep reading here and read what happened to Job. Verse 13, And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses were feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 17, While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking and wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. It's quite a story here of a man who was very wealthy, who was perfect, and yet these terrible things came and happened to him, losing everything that he possessed, losing his children. And we can ask the question, why? Why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? But what can we learn from the story? And I have 3 points from this passage that I'd like for us to take with us into this new year that can guide our steps in 2024. And that is that God is sovereign. We see this coming out couple times in this passage. In reading this story, we get a little peek into the spiritual realm. And it seems like there was a worship scene where the sons of God, which likely angels or members of the heavenly court, they presented themselves before God, before the Lord, which the word Lord here translated means self-existent or eternal one. And then Satan, which is the adversary, the one who's in opposition against God, he shows up on the scene as well. And there's this interesting exchange between God and Satan. And God mentions his servant Job. He said, Hey, have you considered my servant Job here? Perfect and upright man. God noticed Job, and so had Satan. Satan had noticed that as well. And we can expect I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. Satan said, well, of course he serves you. When God lifts Satan or Job up as an example, Satan's response is, well, of course he serves you. You have put a circle around him. He has protection around him. Of course he serves you. And in verse 12, we see God stepping back and allowing Satan to touch Job's possessions and his family. Keep in mind that God is still sovereign. Satan only could go as far as God allowed him to. God is still in control. God was still holding the keys, and Satan did only what he was allowed to do by God. And if we read into chapter 2, we're not going to do that this morning, but if we read into chapter 2, we can see again that a similar worship scene occurred, and Job is again mentioned, and Satan said, well, you didn't touch his body yet. Flesh for flesh. Again, God is sovereign. God is still holding the keys, and Satan was only allowed to go so far. Nothing was out of God's control. And we can remember that in the middle of difficult situations. I don't know what we're going to experience in 2024. There's many people in the world who are experiencing horrific things even today. Think about the wars that are going on, and we can ask, why is God allowing this? Something that we can keep in mind is that God is sovereign, and he is holding the keys to the universe, and it is not out of control for him. And Job wrestled with this question. He wrestled with this question, why is this happening to me? And God responds to Job. We're not going to take the time to look back here in Job 38. Job asked God questions. Why is this happening? And God said, Job, I have a couple questions for you. Where were you when the foundations of the earth were laid? Who tells the sun when to rise and when to go down? Do you know the size of the earth? How about the ways of the wild animals? Who taught them that? And God just asked Job a number of questions. And it just made Job feel pretty small when God was talking to him there. And Job gets to the end of those questions, and he responds with recognizing that God is sovereign. God is in control of all things, and we can just trust him. Even with the smallest detail, God is in control of all of that. The second lesson I want to take from Job chapter 1 here is that there's a spiritual conflict for the souls of man. Satan is out to destroy the things of God. This conflict has been raging since the Garden of Eden. And Satan is out to sabotage our steps. As we step into 2024, as we walk into 2024, Satan would love nothing more than to see every one of us fall to his traps, to his devices, and to see us turn away from God. So as we step into the year, and we know we have that adversary, we can make steps accordingly and be ready for him. Job was an upright man, and it brought conflict into his life. And as people of God, we can expect there to be conflicts and battles for our soul. We should not be surprised by that. That knowledge and understanding should direct our steps this year. Not make us fearful, not make us draw back, but it should call us to the task and renew our resolve to stand firmly in Christ and fight the good fight of faith, as Paul calls it. For Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our battle in 2024. And we can take that battle up with the hope that Brother Duane shared with us this morning and the help of the Holy Spirit to conquer those devices of Satan in this new year. The third one that I'd like to notice here from Job is that Job seemed to live with an open hand. He did not hold dearly to the things that were his, as we call it. Job 1 verse 21 says this, and Job said, naked came out I of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm sure that we have all experienced loss to some degree or another. Losing things that we perceive to be our own, or that maybe we deserve. And it's our human tendency to clamp our fists around those things. These are mine. These are my rights. I am entitled to this or that. But if you look at Job here, it seemed like he held those things very loosely. The Lord gave, and the Lord had given a lot, and the Lord took away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I also think it's interesting in verse 20 that when this messenger came and brought this all this bad news of losing everything, even down to losing his children, verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Now, I don't know how you would respond if someone came in and told you that you lost everything, but I know my natural tendency would not be to fall down and worship. That's what Job did here. Obviously, he held things loosely. Now, we know it was difficult for Job. He wrestled with these things later in the book. We would see that if we read further. But it says here that he fell down and worshiped. And this year, I don't know all the changes that we'll face, but we can be confident that God is sovereign. And if we're willing to allow him to direct our steps, our lives, and live with an open hand, he will be able to accomplish his purposes in our lives. Our lives are truly in his hands, and our steps are directed. If you remember our theme verse that we started out with. We also need to remember that God has our best spiritual interest in mind. Our physical may need to suffer a little bit so that our spiritual can grow and thrive. And I know that in my experience, those spiritual wrestlings is how we grow and how we become stronger in God and our surrender to him. Job concluded with this thought in verse 23. I shouldn't say concluded, but I thought that Job had in Job 23, verse 10, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So this trying of Job was not wasted. It's an example for us. It was beneficial to Job. And it says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So thinking about us and our plans for this new year, and allowing God to direct those steps, let's turn to James chapter 4 for some concluding verses here on how we can take this and apply it to our lives today. James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I hope that can be our guiding principle in 2024. As we make plans, as we look to the future, Let's keep God at the focus. Let's allow his steps, him to direct our steps, and we continue to submit our lives to him and allow our lives to be led by the will of God, and that he can use us in whatever way he will in this new year. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again this morning. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the confidence that we can face this new year, knowing that you already know what's ahead of us. You know the past, just like the future, and you can see the beginning and the end. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more resolved and more submitted to your will. Lord, help us to have faith when the way doesn't seem clear to us, when it seems difficult. I pray that we could trust you and to just allow you to direct our steps. Lord, bless each person here today, and I pray that we can take the truth of your word today and just live them out in this coming week. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.